Chapter 19. Marcone and company dropped me off 100 yards from the emergency entrance to the hospital, and I had to hobble in alone. It was hard, and I was tired, but I'd been hurt worse before. It wasn't like I wanted to do this every day or anything, but after a certain point of ridiculous discomfort, the pain all feels pretty much the same. Once I made it to the emergency room, I was a big hit. When you drag yourself inside panting and leaving a trail of bloody footprints behind you, it makes a certain impression. I had an orderly and a nurse helping me onto my stomach on a gurney within a few seconds while the nurse examined the wound. "It isn't life-threatening," she reported after she cut away my pant leg and took a look. She glanced at me almost in accusation. "From the way you came in here, you'd think this almost killed you." "Well," I said, "I'm kind of a wimp." "Nasty," commented the burly orderly. He produced a clipboard layered in forms and a ballpoint pen and handed them both to me. "I'll have to cut this out." "We'll let the doctor decide that," the nurse said. "How did this happen, sir?" "I have no clue," I said. "I was walking down the street, and all of a sudden I thought my leg was on fire."
"You walked here?" she asked.
"A helpful Boy Scout brought me most of the way," I said. She sighed. "Well, it's been a slow day. They should be able to see you shortly."
"That's super," I said, "because it hurts like hell."
"I can get you some Tylenol," the nurse said primly.
"I don't have a headache. I have a 4-inch piece of steel in my leg." She passed me a paper cup and 2 little white tablets. I sighed and took them.
"Heh," the orderly said after she left. "Don't worry too much. They'll get you something when the doctor sees to you."
"With this kind of loving care, I probably won't need it."
"Don't be too hard on her," the orderly said. "You should see what people try so they can get some painkillers. Vicodin, morphine, that kind of thing."
"Yeah," I said. "Hey, man, can I ask you something?"
"Sure."
He had brought a bowl of ice with him, and he started sealing it into plastic bags, which he started packing around my leg.
"This should numb it a little, and maybe take down some of the swelling. It ain't a local, but it's what I've got."
The ice didn't actually burst into steam upon touching me, even though it felt like it should have. The pain didn't exactly lessen, but it did suddenly feel a little more distant.
"Thanks, man. Hey, I was hoping I could talk to a couple of guys I know while I was here," I said. "They're EMTs, Gary Simmons and Jason Lamar."
The orderly lifted his eyebrows.
"Simmons and Lamar, sure. They drive an ambulance."
"I know. Are they around?"
"They were on shift last night," he said. "But it's the end of the month and they might be on their swing shift. I'll ask."
"Appreciate it," I said. "If Simmons is there, tell him a school buddy is here."
"Sure. If I do that, though, you gotta do something for me and fill out these forms."
I eyed the clipboard and picked up the pen.
"Tell the doc to sign me up for carpal tunnel surgery when he gets that thing out of me. 2 birds with 1 stone.
The orderly grinned. "I'll do that." He left me to fill in forms, which didn't used to take terribly long to fill out since I didn't have any kind of insurance.
One of these days, when I had the money, I was going to have to get some.
They say that when you pay for insurance, you're really buying peace of mind. It might make me feel more peaceful to think how much money the company was probably going to lose on me in the long run. If I lived my whole life in the open, as I had been since I'd come to Chicago, they might be dealing with me for 2 or 3 centuries. I wondered what the yearly markup would be for a 250-year-old. A young doctor came in after I was finished with the forms, and true to the orderly's prediction, he had to cut the shuriken out of me. I got a local, and the sudden cessation of pain was like a drug all by itself. I fell asleep while he was cutting, and woke up as he was wrapping my leg up.
"The suture's dry," he was saying, "though from the looks of your file, I suppose you know that."
"Sure, Doc," I said. "I know the drill. Do you need to take them out, or did I get the other kind?"
"They'll dissolve," he said. "But if you experience any swelling or fever, get in touch. I'm giving you a prescription for something for the pain and some antibiotics."
"Follow all the printed instructions and be sure to take them all,"
I said in my best surgeon general slash television announcer voice.
"Looks like you've done this as often as I have," he said. He gestured to the steel tray where the bloodied shuriken lay. "Did you want to keep the weapon?"
"Might as well. I'll have to get a souvenir in the gift shop otherwise."
"You sure you don't want the police to look at it?" he said.
They might be able to find fingerprints or something.
I already told you guys it must have been some kind of accident, I said.
He gave me a look of extreme skepticism.
All right, if that's the way you want it.
He dropped the little weapon into a metal tray of alcohol or some other sterilizer.
Keep your leg elevated. That will ease the swelling. Stay off of it for a couple of days at least.
No problem, I said. He shook his head.
The orderly will be by in a minute with your prescriptions and a form to sign.
He departed.